Leader!
Order! Order! The House will come to order straight away. Order!
But there was disorder when Prime Minister John Key's answers to questions about a government deal with the Sky City Casino in Auckland met with opposition jeers.
Well, the deal actually hasn't been concluded yet.
Mr. Key was answering this question from opposition leader David Shearer.
Is he aware that Goldman Sachs has estimated the Sky City would make 23 to 28 million a year of additional profit from the increase in the number of pokie machines? And if so, does he regard this and his changes to the Gambling Act as legislation for sale?
Yes.
The right honourable.
Mr. Key dismissed the Goldman Sachs figure as just an assessment.
And I might add, when we were out announcing that we were doing a deal with Len Brown in Auckland, there was quite a little lamb chops before the elections, because Len Brown knew as well it'll create 1,000 jobs in its construction, 900 jobs ongoing, hundreds of thousands of visitors' nights for a convention centre, tourists that will be spending twice as much in New Zealand, and by the way, the number of gaming machines is going down.
Mr. Key's Justice Minister Judith Collins then ran into trouble when responding to questions about the powers available to the Privacy Commissioner when investigating leaks involving the ACC, of which she is also the Minister.
As an independent body, as she is, she needs to be able to be free to conduct her investigations without the sort of lies and manipulations that people have said in this place.
Responding to opposition protests, the Speaker said the Minister had not actually called anyone a liar.
She referred to lies and things in this place. Bigger. And I don't like ruling more and more stuff out, but it's certainly on the margins. I accept that absolutely.
Point of order.
Point of order, the Right Honourable Winston Peters.
So, Speaker, with respect, if that was not offensive to this side of the House, then it was a description of her own behaviour she was talking about.
The Speaker agreed.
And I think the member's point is not unreasonable, and I think the Minister should get to her feet. Please withdraw and apologise.
Thank you. I withdraw and apologise.
I thank the Minister.
The Speaker then invited Labor's Justice Spokesman to ask another question.
Charles Chevelle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the Minister, why is she further trying to prevent relevant information from entering the public domain by threatening news media and members of this House with meritless defamation proceedings? And just what is it that she has to hide?
The Honourable Judith Collins.
Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Justice has no ministerial authority or responsibility for that, and that member should know better.
And there was an even bigger reaction to this claim about the Minister for Foreign Affairs made by his Cabinet colleague Christopher Finlayson when answering a question on his behalf.
He's not a micromanager. His name is... His name
is McCulley, not Stalin or Helen Clark.
Transport Minister Gerry Brownlee came under interrogation from his green shadow, Julianne Genter, who used up all her party's questions on a concerted inquiry into the government's plan to build superhighways.
Why is the government prioritising state highway projects with low benefit-cost ratios, given that traffic volumes are back to 2004 levels and the Crown is borrowing $12 billion a year?
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
While allowing that there had been fluctuations in traffic volumes, the Minister said that they didn't amount to a trend that would persuade the government to abandon its road building programme.
Taking no action to improve our roads would have assumed that our roads were at their optimum point in 2004. The previous government didn't believe that. We don't believe that. And we are going to go ahead with our programme to build roads because of the economic benefit, the social benefit and the safety benefits for New Zealanders. Mr. Speaker, the assertion that the government is borrowing from the roading program is wrong. That is paid for by the Land Transport Fund, which is funded by road users.
Julianne Genter.
Supplementary. Why does the government claim that the roads of so-called national significance have been selected because of their economic importance, when the projects were announced in early 2009, well before the business cases had been undertaken?
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, I think the point is that a government comes in with a program and does what it thinks is necessary to create the environment for economic growth. There is not a successful economy in the world that has achieved results by stopping roading programs.
Question time was followed by the first reading of this government's attempt to regulate the milk production industry with a Dairy Industry Restructuring Amendment Bill. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.